Picture a 19-seat commuter airplane rolling down a runway in the north of England. Twin turboprops out on the wings, nothing unusual about the airframe. It's a Dornier 228, a workhorse you'd find hauling people to islands and oil platforms all over the world. But one of those two engines isn't burning anything. There's no combustion happening on that side of the airplane. No jet fuel, no exhaust, no heat signature the way you'd expect. What's coming out the back is water vapor, and the thing spinning that propeller is an electric motor being fed by a stack of hydrogen fuel cells. I'm Vector, and this is Clear Direct on Radio Hangar. Today we're going to break down hydrogen electric propulsion, the company chasing it hardest, and the honest engineering picture underneath one of the biggest promises in aviation right now. Let's break this down. Before we get into the chemistry, a quick word from the people helping keep this segment in the air. This one's supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones. First solo private pilot, instrument rated, CFI. The whole journey, in a coin that's beautifully made and built to last if you've got a milestone worth remembering, or someone in your life who just hit one, go take a look. AviationSoul.com. Now hydrogen. Here's what most people miss when they hear the word. There are two completely different ways to get energy out of hydrogen on an airplane, and they are not the same technology at all. The first way is to burn it. You take hydrogen, you feed it into a modified gas turbine or a piston engine, and you combust it just like you'd combust kerosene. Airbus has looked hard at this path. It works. Hydrogen burns beautifully, but you're still running a hot combustion engine with all the complexity that comes with it. And you produce some nitrogen oxides in the process, because anytime you burn something in air at high temperature, you cook the nitrogen too. The second way is the one we're focused on today. You don't burn the hydrogen at all. You run it through a fuel cell. A fuel cell is a strange and elegant device. Think of it as a battery that never runs down as long as you keep feeding it fuel. On one side, you pump in hydrogen. On the other side, you pull in ordinary oxygen from the air. Inside, a membrane lets the hydrogen give up its electrons, and those electrons have to travel around the outside of the cell to get to the oxygen. That flow of electrons around the outside is electricity. That's your electric current, and you route it straight into an electric motor that spins the propeller. And when the hydrogen and the oxygen finally meet up on the far side and recombine, what they make is water. That's the whole exhaust. Two hydrogen, one oxygen, water. The same reaction you learned in a high school chemistry class, running quietly on the wing of an airplane and turning a propeller. No combustion, no carbon dioxide, no nitrogen oxides, because there's no flame, just electricity and water. Now you understand why people get excited. On paper, this is the cleanest possible way to fly. The data tells an interesting story, though, and the story is not as simple as the brochure. Let me introduce the company that's pushed this further than anyone into real airplanes. ZeroAvia, founded by an engineer named Val Miftakov, who'd already built and sold an electric vehicle charging company before he turned his attention to airplanes. ZeroAvia set up shop in California and in the United Kingdom, and they made a very deliberate strategic choice that I want you to notice. They didn't try to design a brand new airplane. That's the trap that has swallowed a lot of clean aviation startups. They fall in love with a radical new airframe, and they spend a decade and a fortune trying to certify a shape the world has never seen. ZeroAvia said, no, we'll take an airplane that already exists, that's already certified, that already has a maintenance network and a supply chain, and we'll swap the powertrain. Prove the hard part, the propulsion on a known good airframe. So they started with a 6-seat Piper Malibu class airplane, flew it on hydrogen fuel cells, and then moved up to that Dornier 228, a 19-seat twin. In early 2023, they flew the Dornier with one of its two engines replaced by a full hydrogen electric powertrain. The other engine stayed conventional as a safety backup, which is exactly the cautious, sensible way you flight test something new. You don't bet the whole airplane on the experiment, you keep a way home. That flight mattered. It was the largest airplane to date flying with a hydrogen fuel cell doing real work on the wing. Not a lab bench, not a computer model, a propeller in the air, turning because hydrogen was giving up its electrons. So, here's the promise laid out clean. An airplane that produces water instead of carbon. Fuel you can make from nothing but water and renewable electricity, so it's not tied to an oil well. And an electric motor driving the prop, which means fewer moving parts, less vibration, and potentially lower maintenance than a turbine full of hot spinning stages. That's the promise. Now, let's be honest pilots about it and talk about the problems. Because there are real ones, and I'm not going to hand you the hype without the caveats. Problem number one. Hydrogen is the lightest element in the universe, and that is both the gift and the curse. By weight, hydrogen is fantastic. Pound for pound, it carries about 3 times the energy of jet fuel. That's the number that gets people dreaming. But airplanes don't have unlimited room, and by volume, hydrogen is terrible. A kilogram of hydrogen, even squeezed down hard, takes up a lot of space to make it dense enough to be useful. You've got 2 choices, and neither is free. You can compress it as a gas to enormous pressures, 5,000 or 10,000 pounds per square inch, in heavy reinforced tanks. Think about that pressure. That's not a fuel bladder in a wing, that's a thick, heavy pressure vessel, and it wants to be a sphere or a cylinder, which are awful shapes to pack into a thin wing built for kerosene. Or you can chill it down to a liquid. Liquid hydrogen is denser, and it's what you'd want for a bigger airplane going farther. But liquid hydrogen has to be kept at around minus 423 degrees Fahrenheit, colder than almost anything you will ever encounter. You need cryogenic tanks, insulation, and you have to accept that some of it will slowly boil off just sitting there. ZeroAvia and others are moving toward liquid hydrogen for exactly the range reasons. But it adds a whole layer of cold, complex plumbing. So the fuel that's 3 times better by weight can end up needing tanks so heavy and so bulky that a lot of that advantage bleeds away. Here's the analogy. It's like packing for a trip where the clothes weigh nothing but every shirt comes in its own steamer trunk. The shirts aren't the problem. The trunks are problem. Number two, where does the hydrogen actually come from? This is the one that gets waved away in the glossy videos, and I won't wave it away. Hydrogen is clean at the airplane. Water out the back, absolutely true. But it is only as clean as the way you made it, today. The overwhelming majority of hydrogen produced on Earth is made from natural gas in a process that releases carbon dioxide. The industry calls that gray hydrogen. If you fly your beautiful zero-emission airplane on gray hydrogen, you've just moved the carbon from the airplane's tailpipe to a factory somewhere else. You haven't erased it. The clean version, the one the whole dream depends on, is green hydrogen. You take water, you take renewable electricity from wind or solar, and you split the water into hydrogen and oxygen with a machine called an electrolyzer. Do that, and the entire chain really is clean, from the wind turbine to the water vapor behind the propeller. The catch. Green hydrogen today is expensive, and it is not produced anywhere near the scale that aviation would need. Building that out is a whole industry unto itself, tied up with the electric grid, with renewable build-out, with cost curves that have to come down a lot. So when someone tells you hydrogen airplanes are zero emission, the honest engineer's answer is, they can be, if and only if we build an enormous green hydrogen supply chain first. That's not a footnote, that's the main event. Problem number three, the airport. An airplane is only useful if you can refuel it where you land. Every airport on the planet is set up to pump jet fuel and avgas. None of them, essentially, are set up to store and dispense liquid hydrogen at scale. That's tanks, that's trucks, that's trained ground crews, that's safety systems, that's regulation. It's a chicken and egg problem. Nobody wants to build hydrogen infrastructure until there are airplanes to use it, and nobody wants the airplanes until there's fuel waiting at the other end. This is why the smart players are starting small and regional, short hops. Island runs, commuter routes where the same 19-seat airplane flies between 2 or 3 airports all day, and you only have to build hydrogen fueling at a handful of places, not the whole world at once. Start where the geography does you a favor. Now let me give hydrogen its due against the alternative, because this is where it genuinely shines, and where I think the engineering case is real. Compare it to batteries. Battery electric airplanes are flying today. We've talked about them on this show. They are wonderful for training and short flights, and they are dead quiet and cheap to operate. But batteries are heavy, and here's the cruel part. A battery weighs exactly the same when it's empty as when it's full. You carry every pound of that battery for the entire flight, and it never gets lighter. A hydrogen airplane gets lighter as it flies. The way every airplane you've ever flown gets lighter as it burns fuel. And hydrogen carries far more energy per pound than any battery we can build. So for anything beyond a short training hop, for a real route with real passengers and real distance, hydrogen has a shot at range that batteries simply cannot touch with today's chemistry. That's not hype, that's just energy density. And the physics favors hydrogen the farther you want to go. So the way I'd frame the whole landscape is this. Batteries for the short and light. hydrogen fuel cells for the regional middle, and conventional turbines, probably burning sustainable aviation fuel, for the big long-haul jets for a long time yet. These aren't competitors fighting over one prize. They're different tools for different missions, the same way you wouldn't take a Super Cub to fly 100 people across an ocean. Let's talk honest timeline, because this is where I part company with the breathless press releases. ZeroAvia has real airplanes flying, and they've been chasing certification of their smaller powertrain, the one aimed at those 19-seat commuters. With a stated goal of entering service in the middle of this decade, and larger powertrains for 40 to 80-seat airplanes later. They've signed agreements with airlines and lessors for hundreds of these systems on paper. That's genuine momentum. And I don't want to be dismissive of a company that has actually put fuel cells in the air when most of their competitors are still rendering videos. But certification is a mountain, and it is a mountain. Nobody has fully climbed yet with a fuel cell driving a propeller on a passenger airplane. The FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration, and its European counterpart have decades of rules built around combustion engines. A high-pressure or cryogenic hydrogen system, a fuel cell stack, high-voltage electrical distribution, all of that has to be proven safe to a standard that took gas turbines half a century to earn. That takes time. It should take time. You're the person who'd be sitting behind it. And we've watched the graveyard fill up? Universal Hydrogen, a company with a genuinely clever idea about hydrogen fuel in swappable capsules, flew a converted airplane and then ran out of money and shut down in 2024. That's the honest risk in this whole sector. The engineering can be sound, and the company can still die waiting for the money in the market and the fuel supply to all show up at the same time. Good physics does not guarantee a good business. So here's where I land, and I'll give it to you straight the way I'd want it given to me. Hydrogen electric propulsion is not vaporware. There is a real airplane, a Dornier 228, that has flown with a fuel cell turning a propeller and water coming out the back. That happened. The physics is sound. The energy density is genuinely better than batteries for real range. And the emissions at the airplane really are just water. But the honest picture has three anchors dragging on the dream, and none of them are about the airplane. It's the fuel. Is it actually green or just green painted? It's the tanks, heavy and bulky and cold. And it's the infrastructure, which doesn't exist yet at almost any airport you can name. Solve the airplane and you've solved maybe a third of the problem. The rest is chemistry plants and fuel trucks and a regulatory framework that has to be written almost from scratch. Here's what I'll be watching. Not the demonstration flights. Those prove the concept, and the concept is proven. What I want to see is the first paying passenger route flying on certified hydrogen electric power, day in and day out, refueling at a real airport with real green hydrogen. The day that route runs for a full year without drama is the day this stops being a promising experiment and becomes an industry. We're not there, but for the first time, you can actually see it from here. My thanks to ZeroAvia's own published flight test data and to the reporting in Aviation Week and Flight Global that's tracked this program and the wider hydrogen sector, honestly, warts and all. If you want the earlier segments where we broke down battery electric airplanes and where all this fits together, they're waiting for you at RadioHangar.com. This is Vector. The nice thing about being an engineer is you get to be excited and skeptical at the same time. And hydrogen earns both. Keep your eyes on that first real route. I'll see you next time on Clear Direct.